Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is your host, Matthew Kirby, and welcome to a new season of the Young Black HR Podcast, brought to you and sponsored by Honest Human Resources Consulting. Our mission is to have meaningful conversations by amplifying voices and perspectives we need to hear in today's times. The Young Black HR Podcast challenges how we define a human resource through discussion of our talents, abilities, and backgrounds that we bring to the table. Now I have one question for you. How are you a human resource? Enjoy today's episode. This one's on me. Hey, what's up? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of the Young Black HR Podcast with your host. Y'all know how I do it by now. Me, Matthew Kirby. And today's episode, it's going to be good. I've been meditating on it for a while. I think it's going to be magical in its own special way. So I am extremely excited to talk to today's guest. So for those of you that have been listening, have been rocking for a while, y'all know how I do it. Let's not waste any more time and get right into it. So today's very special guest is founder and CEO of Artistryland, Janessa Robinson. Hey, Janessa, what's up? What's going on? How you doing?
Hi, Matthew. Yeah, I'm doing very well. Very happy to be here with you today. I love your intro. You have this beautiful voice.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, sometimes practice takes perfect. And I tell people, just as a side note for y'all that are listening, sometimes people kind of feel some type of way about like hearing themselves, like with recordings and things like that. But it's just one of those things where I feel like I talk so much that, you know, I'm used to it by now. But with that being said, thank you so much for joining. We really appreciate it. And I want to kind of set the foundation, the stage just a little bit for those of that may not be as aware of not only Janessa Robinson as a person, but also the amazing platform Artistryland. Tell us more about yourself, your platform. What should we know about what's going on?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So Janessa is what we would consider a polymath or a multi-hyphenate. And so Artistryland for me is a really great way to envelop all of the things that I do. So that includes writing. I'm a journalist. I am a filmmaker, a photographer, a designer, and also an actor. And so for me, I've built this career of being a journalist, built this career of creating all this content. And I wanted to really figure out a way to be very purposeful in my work and to be a steward of my business. And Artistryland is really about designing artistic experiences, which could be physical products, it could be experiential events, it could be like digital designs and brand strategy. And it could also include my journalism and my photography. It's just like this huge umbrella for like this big Artistryland. Like in my mind, it's a very like colorful place,
right?
It's like filled with art. And so what I really love about it is that it connects me with other artists and other designers. So I spend time interviewing artists and publishing interviews on my blog and also writing about my own art. I believe it's very important to share the process and experience of being an artist. There's so much that goes into it. There's mental health, there's self-care, there's the creative process and stimulating that. And it's an artist's job to sort of share these stories and these life experiences to help the world grow. So that's what I really love about Artistryland.
Yeah, and you know what? That is so amazing. And I really love how, just even when we think about artists, you know, contrary to what we see like in the movies and all that good stuff, you know, y'all that are listening, every artist ain't out here struggling on the streets, trying to make it big and all that stuff. And it's one of those things where when I think about artists and artistry, it just comes in so many different forms. I mean, anything from the acting side, like you said, to the creative side in the sense of, you know, designs and graphics and music, and the list goes on and on. And that's so amazing that you have a community and building that community where it's just more and more and more artists, because we need artists. We really do. Everybody can't be in STEM. You know, everybody can't just, you know, do all these different things. And I'm trying to remember, what side of the brain is it? Is it the right side? That's the creative side? One of them sides. Y'all know. Y'all correct me in the comments somewhere. But we need those right brain or left brain people too. So we can all just be one big happy family and kumbaya into the sunset. But with that being said, you know, just thank you so much for that. And for y'all, I know we're going to get to shout outs and everything later on in the episode, but when y'all go to Janessa's IG, and I'm going to let Janessa tell that information later on, y'all got to check out some of the dancing videos because she be going off. Excuse me, Janessa be going off. So, you know, just with that being said, oh my goodness, I almost want to fast forward the show. But with that being said, Janessa, I'm going to ask you this question. I'm not going to treat you any differently. But Janessa, how are you a human resource?
Yeah, I mean, that's an excellent question. First, I would say that my perspective about that phrase, human resource, has really developed over time. I think I used to hear that and just kind of, it sounded like very technical and kind of like vague, or oddly enough, it didn't sound very human to me. But after getting to know people who work in human resources, like more intimately, I can see how much people are motivated by caring for people and understanding them. And having those conversations helped me understand how I am a human resource. So oftentimes I am someone who is just a really good listener for people, right? Practicing intentional listening, turning off the dialogue in my mind and just absorbing what this person is saying and what they're feeling. Sometimes I'm better at that than others, I'll admit. But when I'm there, I'm really present and I'm very good at it. And something I really love to do ever since I was a small child is to curate these artistic experiences for people to participate with me. When I was little, it was like, come play with me. As an adult, it's more like, let's go through this transformational process so that you and I can understand where we need to grow, and we will just create the process that helps us grow. So a way that happens is, as a storyteller, as a published journalist, right, I'm published in places like The Guardian, Ebony, Huffington Post, and people look to me as a way to say, like, you know, how can I be as confident as this person is with, say, public speaking or writing and sharing their story? So my way of being a human resource is just being available to people so they can ask me questions. I provide feedback. I'll look at your resume. I will help you edit it. I'll be like, no, you can change this. You can try that. And I'll like create programs, whether it's open mic nights or poetry events or whatever, so that people can, in many cases, develop confidence in the way that they present themselves to the public. And that's something that is okay. It has a business, a professional advantage. It really has a personal and spiritual advantage, right? That you get to go through this process of loving who you are. And so that's how I see myself as a human resource, is come to me and I will just like help you transform into this butterfly.
Yeah. And you know what? Life is a process. You know, sometimes we got folks in the caterpillar phase. Other time folks are in the cocoon phase. Other folks are rocking and rolling in their butterfly phase. And it's just so amazing to me, even when I think, okay, human resource, when I think about that. Yes, a lot of people, 9 times out of 10, go the traditional, typical HR route. We don't even like them anyway. It's top of route, right? But it's one of those things where even just thinking about not only the show, but I was like, you know what? You know, people need to understand that, number one, if we are picking on HR, number one, there's humans behind that. Mm-hmm. And we all have different skills and abilities and all that good stuff. But number two, I always ask myself, you know, how can we broaden this up, right? What if we do something and have the audacity to say, hey, you know what? Everyone is a human resource. I don't care if you're talking about in your professional spaces. I don't care if you're an engineer, you know, whatever you do. But also thinking about, okay, what is my resource ultimately to the world and others and all that stuff? And that comes in so many different forms, you know, whether it's being a creative, whether it's being, you know, an advocate for mental health, whether it's just being a mom or a dad or a rich auntie or a rich uncle. Come on, y'all. Shout out to rich aunties and rich uncles. But, you know, just how, however dynamic and however you see yourself as that human resource, that is the beautiful thing. And this is a part of why, for those of you that are listening for the first time, this is a part of why we are those young Black human resources. See what I did there? I'm cheesy, y'all, but see what I did there? I hope y'all get it, because if y'all miss it, I'm going to be like, ah, damn it, you know, I missed the whole point of the show. Now I got to say it again. But with that being said, I'm really thankful to hear your answer, your perspective on it. And it really gives, it continues to give diversity to that very same question that I ask everyone on the show. So I'm eager. It's time to start talking about, you know, some of the more magical elements of today's topic. But let's set the stage. Let's set the stage real quick. You know, Janessa, when you hear unicorn, when you think about unicorn, when you even think about yourself as a unicorn and other unicorns out there, what is a unicorn? What you talking about? What does that like?
Yeah. So for me, I mean, being a unicorn, really when I began to associate myself with the word, is when I began to be more comfortable with my sexuality, right? So in the queer and kink community, there are all these different words for all these different roles and all these different identities. And it can be overwhelming, but once you kind of wade through it, you start to figure out, well, maybe this thing kind of works for me, right? And it doesn't have to be a permanent term, but it can help navigate some conversations. So for me, being a unicorn is really about being a bisexual woman, right? Which means that I am attracted to men and women. And if you want to get really specific in the queer community, being a mm-hmm. unicorn, the term really means a bisexual woman who wants to have sex with a couple, or who is open or interested to having sex with a couple, or who has, right? And I think the term unicorn there is because it's such a kind of rare occurrence. Mm-hmm. Statistically speaking, I think the latest data that I've seen says that about 5% of people in the United States self-identify to be on the LGBTQ plus spectrum. Inside that 5%, I think about 80%+ of those people identify as bisexual. But when you look at the statistic, like from this full view, it's like, it's a very small part of the United States population. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, okay, let's say about half of that 80% women. So you shrink that down even further. And then mm-hmm. what percentage of that are women who are bisexual, who are interested or open to having sex with a couple? Like, that's a very specific thing. So it's so rare that it's kind of like you're out in the forest and you're searching for this rare creature and you're looking for a unicorn, right? And
right.
So I think that's how the term came to be. And for me, I actually started to associate myself with the word when I did find myself I went on a date with a couple, and then we went and we spent some play time together, mm-hmm. is what we call it. I don't recall if I met them on like a dating app. I don't recall if in the profile, I think they did say that they were looking for a unicorn specifically. And I Googled it. This is what happened. I Googled the word. I was like, what does that mean? And it was like, on Urban Dictionary, it says a bisexual woman who wants to F a couple. And I was like, oh, well, here we are.
So right, it's like, check. All right.
That's me. And it's a term that's kind of cute. And then I have Asperger's. So there's a very small, I don't know what the exact statistics are, but there's a very small percentage of the United States population of people like who are diagnosed with Asperger's. Mm-hmm. And it's this kind of like magical little experience because I'm socially inept in these ways and like don't understand what's going on with social cues over there. I'm just like, it's overwhelming. And on the other hand, you know, I can do things like use design thinking to design my entire life experience, right? And like use that to manifest really interesting things, or I don't know, I skipped several grades in school. It's very difficult to know exactly how many grades I skipped. But I skipped several grades in school because I kept out testing people in my state for reading and I think like writing and social studies and all that sorts of things. So those are my unicorn definitions.
Gotcha. And look, even just with that, you know, answer right there, like there's like layers to even each one of those things that you just mentioned, like even at the surface level. And arguably that can be a whole episode in a podcast by itself. You know, I'm surprised. I don't know. Maybe someone got out there. Maybe there's some unicorn podcast out there somewhere. I don't know. Y'all let me know. But with that being said, you know, this is one of the things that I like to try to get people to understand. So when Matt preaches about humanizing people, whether it's HR or just other people, sometimes we have to humanize the LGBTQ plus community. Like I can only imagine, you know, how folks must feel, you know, every time, you know, people be tossing out LGBTQ, whether it's in the context of DE&I or just some other political, you know, battle out there, you know. And it's like, at some point, we got to get an understanding or some sort of, you know, in-depth knowledge about who are the people behind that, right? They just not a label, right? That we need to toss around like it's a tennis match, you know. Don't get me wrong or anything like that. Definitely keep fighting for the rights, because look, even if y'all not in the LGBTQ plus community, and let's just say you minority, y'all know how it is. We still fight. So you can only imagine when folks start to have, you know, double minorities and triple minorities, and, you know, there's just levels of that. But it's one of those things where people just, you know, number one, just a little bit too performative, in my opinion, right, when we talk about this. And number two, people still sometimes feel that, you know, if you are in a certain group or identify a certain way, that somehow that makes you less than, right? You know, it's one of those things that people are oftentimes confused. People could use and benefit from more education. But Janessa, when I think about a unicorn, and this is kind of funny to think about it like this, but I was like, hell, let's see what happens. But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, who can be a unicorn, right? Like what does that really look like? Because look, and I'll sidestep for just a second before you answer that. So you know how when folks normally talk about DE&I and all this stuff, people be self-identifying as allies. And you'd be like, yo, hold on. Wait, what? An ally, number one, you know, that in the allyship starter pack, you know, number one, you can't self-identify, right? It's more about what you do, not versus how you decide to pick and choose what you're going to go by on that particular day. But with that being said, you know, do you find a lot of people self-identifying as like unicorns or even as members of the LGBTQ plus community?
So I do find people using the word unicorn in ways that are kind of, I want to say loose. Like if you go on LinkedIn, on my LinkedIn feed, I see unicorn, like the emoji show up in a lot of people's names, and like, they'll say that they're a unicorn, but they're talking about it in a context that is not at all related to their like sexual identity or their queerness. They're just using it as like, oh, I'm a snowflake. And I'm like, that's interesting. And very confusing for queer people on the internet, I'm certain. Right. That's confusing. So I find it that way. I haven't met many people, honestly. I think about it, I know off the top of my mind, there's one other unicorn that comes to my mind. And actually, I don't know if she's a unicorn, I just know she's a bisexual woman. So she's a bisexual woman, so she's a unicorn in that way. I don't know if she's a bisexual woman who wants to or engages in sex with couples. And actually, it's important to state that typically, as far as I know, that really means that it's an attractive bisexual woman, right? Because to be a unicorn, you have to be sought out. So there is this attractiveness bias at play. And that couple is typically a straight, or maybe they're not straight as people, but they're like a heterosexual couple, right? So it's a man and a woman. And it's typically, like in my experience, and this is just my experience, I was born a female, right, with female parts, and continue to have those parts. So like I'm what's considered cisgender. So my entire experience of like this unicorn world is kind of adjacent to like what we would call the straight world or the vanilla world. Vanilla means you like you're not into kink or like you don't have like okay. Yeah, like you're not into like I don't know, like fantasy play or whatever.
It means yeah.
Like missionary, mm-hmm. you sort of like basic sex, like
right, like the sex starter pack. Yeah.
Yeah, the sex starter pack. Like you're just I don't even know how else it, but yeah, it's like I want to say you're just getting started, but you may right. be doing the same thing throughout your whole life.
Right, over and over again. Kind of like, you know how folks be saying, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And right. other folks will be like, you know, we can crank this up and get a little, you know, creative, you know. But yeah, we definitely get it for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like the basics, right? So yeah, I haven't met many women who identify as a unicorn, which statistically makes sense. Mm-hmm. But seeing it used in these broad terms, particularly
right.
in this business/LinkedIn world, is yeah, it can be a little odd. And I don't really know where the space exists to have conversation in a work context about being a unicorn. I mean, like, I don't think that I might have like told one person privately. There's one former colleague. We just would have really personal conversations about our dating lives. And I told her about this experience, right? But it's not something that I discussed broadly. There is a pride panel.
Right.
I mentioned that I'm a bisexual woman. And I almost immediately regretted it because I have this like, I get anxious whenever if I say mm-hmm. that in a crowd of people, I imagine that they're imagining me having a threesome immediately, right? I'm like, they must now be thinking about that. And like, I get really uncomfortable and I'm like, I can't, I gotta go. Like, I don't know. And then like,
yeah,
if someone's gay, they typically say, hey, I'm gay. They don't go, I'm homosexual, right? So for me, to say that I'm bisexual, now I've just started, like, I'll say I'm bi, right? So that I don't have to say the word sex in a business context, because I'm like, that makes mm-hmm. me really uncomfortable. I'm like, oh no, it's like, now you're thinking about sex and like, I've said it and like, I don't know where else to go. So I think I answered your question. Like I have
other
concerns, not so concerned about people using that word unless.
Yeah, no, I think it's really interesting as you begin to unpack this. And I would definitely be curious to hear for those of you that are listening, and even in your case, Janessa, when we think about, well, what if someone just says out there, well, is there that safe space and place, even if we're talking about work? But, you know, wouldn't that be something that's more easy to talk about in LGBTQ+ related ERGs? Right. Ideally, someone who may be living on the rock wall would be like, well, there's a community. You know, what say ye in that sense? Have you felt some of that kind of same awkwardness, even in that kind of context, since we're talking about work briefly?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do agree that there is a greater sense of safety in the LGBTQ+/queer ERGs because these dynamics, these words, this language, mm-hmm. you know, people tend to be either more familiar with it or have their own experiences that they too would maybe not want to share amongst people who are not initiated, so to speak. Mm-hmm. that's what I would consider it.
Right.
And it's really helpful because, you know, essentially this is just my dating life. This is my love life, right?
Right.
So, or say you as a married man with children, your father, like you can show up to work and just talk about your dating life, your love life. Hey, me and my wife are doing this weekend in a way that's socially acceptable, more broadly, right, to more people. Me, when I would show up to work and I'd be like in a team meeting and people are like discussing their dating lives or their love lives, I'm just like, no, I don't think this is like, I don't know what kind of like biases or
yeah.
what sort of stereotypes you might project or it's a whole other thing. So, you know, it's having conversations with people who are in LGBTQ+ ERGs, you start with less assumptions, one, because you really have to yield and defer to other people for them to share with you who they are, how they identify, who and what they're interested in. So you kind of like show up just like very with very limited assumptions, right? Like, I assume you're human from what I can gather, right? You're human. Right. It's kind of where I'm going with this. And then the way you present, okay, I'll read that. Like, this person seems to be masculine presenting, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily are, right? It depends on how they see themselves. So you just kind of listen and ask questions, operate typically in a way that's fairly non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. Maybe the further you get along in knowing someone, you might be like, oh, like, ha, that's funny. Or, oh no, that's stupid. Like, then you can kind of like develop a rapport with your judgments, because humans have them, you can't get rid of that. But yeah, that's been my experience.
Yeah, and even just thinking about that, it's I feel like it's one of those things where, you know, there should be, and shout out to all the LGBTQ plus kind of related ERGs. Let's even go a little further than that. Just shout out to the groups and safe spaces out there in life. Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're not at work all the time. Well, I hope y'all not at work. Y'all, even for y'all that's got the global roles, and trust me, I know how it is messing around with people in APAC, EMEA, LATAM, all of that, and all kinds of crazy hours of the night. But y'all, let's not be at work all the time. So let's as we continue to unpack and just even talk about this conversation, y'all, let's think outside the 9 to 5 or whatever that time is locally with the people that you work with. But even just thinking about that, it's one of those things where, you know, I feel like you kind of hit it when we talk about ultimately what's socially, quote unquote, acceptable, right? When we think about, okay, you know, even pick it on me, you got it right. You know, in that case, when I think about some of the identities I go by, right, you know, Black dude, married, kids, stuff like that. But even when I think about some of those identities, and I was just talking to someone about this the other day, it's like, okay, how do those identities transcend, and what kind of context do those same identities take when we talk about intergenerationalism, right? You know, what does that look like? Even when we think about, you know, and I feel like unicorns, for example, has always been around, but what does that look like, you know, when we talk about millennial versus Gen X, versus, you know, baby boomers, you know, and so on and so forth. Insert your particular identity for those of you that are listening. And even when I think about, for me, one of the things that, you know, I kind of cope with from my identity basis in this generation, because I'll be 31 in October, it's one of those things where I'm still trying to figure out what are those kind of safe spaces and places to just be a millennial parent. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I always tell people, you got to know your audience, right? You kind of got to just sit back and see what kind of energy and vibes that you get. And it's one of those things where it's like, all right, I know most millennials, or a lot of millennials, I could be wrong, but most or all or some or whatever, you know, if they're not in my particular sphere as parents and all that, then we got rich uncles and aunties, right? We got folks that may just be like, F them kids all the way, which is all right. That's cool. You know, but even with that being said, it's just one of those things where if you're listening to this show, you know, I don't want to broaden up unicorn too much, because why, y'all ain't the guests on today's show. But, you know, I also want to make sure that, you know, we can kind of look at it within ourselves, not only on this topic, but any topic that's on this podcast platform, and just kind of think, you know, how do I take this back to my community, my friends, my circle, whatever the case may be. And even just thinking about that, Janessa, I want to ask you the opposite. All right. So, you know, thinking about, you know, who is a unicorn? Let's go the other way. Who isn't a unicorn? Have you ever caught somebody fronting and just playing around, or, you know, just trying to, you know, just trying to do too much? Come on now, call it out.
That's a great question. I mean, I have caught people fronting. I mean, like, okay, I'll say this. I haven't caught anyone front in terms of like pretending to be a unicorn. I have dated people who seemed to be interested in exploring things and either were misrepresenting that or along the way realized that that's something that they're not actually interested in. So I'll give you a more specific story, right? I dated a man last year, and we met during COVID. very early on, from the first time that we met, we had a conversation about preferred relationship dynamics, and something I mentioned that I'm interested in is polyamory, right? And so one of the reasons being that I'm bisexual. So for me, I have felt very limited in a relationship with, I've primarily like dated men, only been in serious relationships with men, right? I'm actually bisexual and was considered heteroromantic, meaning that I prefer to be in romantic relationships with men. But in doing that, where they were monogamous, I kind of got like, oh, very antsy, because I'm like, well, there's this other aspect of me, this energy in me, this spirit in me that I cannot be like engaged with. And it's very upsetting. So I'm seeing this man, we have a conversation about polyamory. He says he's open to it, you know, that he, I think previously kind of would have just like been like, no, but in recent years, it's something that he began to learn more about. And says, okay, so like, well, let's explore this. And then we start dating, and we do this exercise. He comes up with some Google slides to help us discern, like, I love
your face. He did a whole presentation. No, I'm sorry. And y'all, when I put the video out, y'all, shout out to the Young Black HR YouTube page coming soon. But I'm over here like, I'm looking, and when y'all see this, I'm over here looking at Janessa like, wait, dude did a whole presentation on this? I am intrigued. So no, go ahead. I am tuned in.
So it was like a design exercise. Mm-hmm. Like what, because okay, in the queer and kink community, the basis of the relationship is really meant to be around consent, which means that you're constantly forming agreements. So it was, what would our set of agreements be about the nature of this polyamorous relationship, right? Like what would the, not rules, because that's kind of like, but the agreement is like, when will we see people, right? How long will we be monogamous? Or are we going to start polyamorous from the outset? It was COVID, so the answer to that question, no.
Right, come on now.
You know, and then things like, okay, like, is this something, like you could decide, are you only polyamorous when you're physically apart, like on a long business trip, or is it like an everyday thing? Do you play together with someone? Like, do we go get a unicorn? Or do you play individually? Like all these things. And then like stuff like, do people know? Like, do you tell people? Does your family know? If we have children, like how do you deal with that? Like all these questions, which are great questions. So we went through that process, and we still agreed to explore this. And the further that we got into conversations about it, the more drawn back that he became, like over time. Mm-hmm. Very, like snide remarks. Like it was just like everything that I kind of said, like, oh, would you be interested? And you know, like when would you be interested in exploring this? Like we could start with a threesome with a woman, right? And he's like, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. And then he goes, well, I wouldn't want to plan it. I don't want it to be scheduled. I would want us to just be out at a bar and we meet a woman. I'm like, first of all, I don't drink. I'm not going to be at bars. Second of all, that's not safe, in my opinion. Like, if you want to go do that, you do that and you get tested before you come home. Because
you know what? That's real. You know, look, nowadays, and this is so interesting, and I don't know who I was talking to the other day, but I was like, I feel not bad in terms of like sorry for, but I just feel for like people who are either in that category or even just like single and just trying to navigate. Cause you know, for the longest, it was like, all right, are you good? Did you get tested? Now you got to throw in COVID and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's just like, I'm over here like, geez, you know, this process has got to be increasingly more and more difficult as time goes on. But no, just go ahead. It's the environment has changed so much. I can only imagine is what I'm getting at.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of considerations. Essentially, the further that we got in a conversation, the more I felt that he was just opposing things. And I was like, okay, like one time he made a snide comment, was like, you know, I don't know, like, maybe why don't we just like see other people and still be in a relationship, but like be friends. And I was like, what are you talking? Like, it was just a bunch of nonsensical things.
Right.
Like, again, I have Asperger's, so I'm like trying to make sense. I was like, this is not logical. But what I learned though, is that like, he really didn't want to do this, that he felt even uncomfortable with the idea that I was okay with him, like being with someone else. Mm-hmm. Right. So I was like, okay, these are very like fundamental differences here. I felt that, I felt misled, right? Mm-hmm. That's how I felt. That may or may not
right. be
intention.
Mm-hmm. The disrespect.
The disrespect. I did, because yeah. I was like, well, how, like logistically, how do you think this is going to work? Right. Mm-hmm. And this is not the first time. Like, I've been in other relationships where I've mentioned to the man that I was in a relationship with mm-hmm. that I'm bisexual, but in those previous relationships, we were already together. And then I came out to them and it was just a disaster, like a complete disaster. It was either lots of suspicion, like, no, now I don't trust you around women. And I'm like, what? Like, or it was like, I think you're going to leave me for a woman. Or one man, his entire reaction and response was, what kind of women are you attracted to? Well, would you want to have a threesome? And I'm like, not with you. Like, this is some helpful advice. And I write about this in my article, right? Mm-hmm. For Pride Month, this Pride Month message, letter from a unicorn. If a unicorn comes out to you, or an otherwise bisexual person, right? Men can be bisexual. If this person comes out to you, even if they come out to you as gay, I don't really care, okay? Whatever it is that they say, consider the way that this experience has impacted them, right? To refocus the conversation on your desires immediately is completely unattractive. It's completely egocentric. I don't really understand. It's kind of like counterintuitive is the word that I'm looking for, right? If the outcome someone wants is to be able to explore this with their partner, then they need to be focused on their partner's needs, not their own, because it's their partner's identity that even allows this exploration to happen, right?
Right.
But for someone to just go, oh, like, boom, like, would you want to have a threesome? I was like, no. And then I went back and I said, well, maybe I'll consider it. I'll consider it only if you're okay with me sleeping with women alone. And he was like, no. And I was like, oh, why not? And then he like kind of like couldn't really say anything. And I was like, is right. it monogamy? And he was like, yeah, like, you know, I feel like you wouldn't be really committed to us. And I was like, okay, yeah. So how do you think I feel about your commitment to me while you keep trying to get me to participate in threesomes?
Yeah. And you know what, even just thinking about y'all, for those that are listening, you know, when you started answering this earlier, my immediate mind was like, he ain't about it. You know, just be acting, and just thinking about sometimes how people can pose as certain things. We understand this episode is about unicorns and all that, but y'all think about it. For those of you that are listening, think about it. How many folks have perpetrated as allies, and then you get into it and you realize they're not an ally? Shout out to, and yes, I'm full of shameless plugs, but even thinking about the episode, y'all, that I did on our allies invited to the cookout. Come on, that was a good episode, don't y'all think? So if you haven't listened to it, please go check it out. But just that being said, people, there are such thing as misidentifying. There's such thing as posing. There's, you know, oh my goodness. I was even just thinking about a twisted way of the imposter syndrome, like in the reverse, right? Where you may think that you're open to whatever in life, but you're really not, right? You're really not about it. And it's just one of those things where when I think about how are you a human resource, for those of you that also haven't listened, me and my wife, we did a two-part mini-series on how are we a human resource strictly and in context of relationships, mm-hmm. right? And we go through our whole love and life story, and it was really cool. So just thinking about, you know, this topic itself is like people... I feel like in some cases, Janessa, I don't know if you look at it the same, but I feel like sometimes people try too hard or try a little bit too much to be, you know, like inclusively minded, right? Yeah. So they don't come across as that extremist on the other side, that they aren't in return as honest with themselves. Because it's one of those things where, and let's just pick on that situation that you spoke of, you know, if dude wasn't, you know, really about that for himself, right? Because that I'm pretty sure that that's a big kind of conversation you would probably want to have, not you, but I'm talking to people. You probably might want to kind of have those types of discussions, you know, up front and earlier in time, just with that being said. But if you yourself are trying to be inclusive to the extent, and really only because you don't want to be deemed as exclusive, beware, y'all. There are pros and cons of that. It's better to be open, to communicate. You know, it's better to just be, you know what, let me just have a real little kumbaya with myself. What truly am I open to, right? What truly am I curious about? And really go out there, because one of the things, Janessa, that I've heard a lot as well, and just thinking about, you know, LGBTQ community and all that, is sometimes people feel entitled to get one-on-one lessons from members of the community. Yeah. And at this, and you know what, whether it's you or anyone else, you know, y'all not even really entitled to give those lessons, right? You don't exist to educate other people solely, right? You got things to do, and I'll leave it at that. But, you know, just with that being said, and as I go back and think about allyship, and I'm not talking about in the corporate context, just folks, you know, out in life, you know, when I think about some of those folks who are either reverse imposters, I'm gonna make that up, reverse imposters or folks who aren't as about it, how do you go about educating folks in the context of a unicorn and getting them to at least comprehend, not understand, not agree, but at least comprehend what the unicorn experience is about? And also really through that conversation, empower them to be honest with themselves, so that you or any other unicorns that are listening, or even anybody in any other category, you know, don't have to run into this situation of like, wow, dude, you just could have been a little bit more upfront. So give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so that's a good question. I mean, for me, like everyone goes about this in their own way, but I start from a place of safety. What makes me feel safe? So do I feel safe having conversation with this person? You know, if the answer is yes, then I contemplate the strategy. If the answer is no, listen, I'm not involved. Don't talk to me. Period. I don't want to, like, don't engage.
Right. Protect your energy.
Yeah. But so if I do feel safe, right, and there are cues that would help me understand that. Those cues being, like, I live in San Francisco, so there might be, like, there are billboards and advertisements where there are men who are, like, scantily clad and little, like, I don't know, like Speedos or whatever. And it's like for a gay dating app. And the guy who was trying to, like, make my bisexuality about him, he came to visit me. And every time one of those ads went by, he was like, oh my God, oh, do you see this? And I was like, what, the ad? And he was like, yeah, those guys, they're naked. I'm like, yeah, like, this is a cue to me that, like, this is how, one of the ways I was like, this is never gonna work. Like, definitely on my way to breaking up with this person, right? Because that type of reaction, I wouldn't necessarily consider it homophobic, but I would consider it to be someone who's not well-versed or informed or otherwise.
It's okay, Janessa, you can say ignorant.
Okay, yeah. I don't know where to put it. Yeah, right. It was just kind of like, okay, like, we're starting, not even with training wheels here, but right. Like, you can't even process this information. You have to scream about it out loud. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. So I sort of read the cues that indicate that there is a sense of safety would be seeing an ad like that and going, you know, I don't know, like, I wonder about their business model or something, like, or having no reaction to, I don't know, like, kind of like, whatever. But so when I'm in conversation with someone, Clubhouse is actually a great place for this. So people can follow me on Clubhouse. I'm in a lot of rooms. There's one club called Positively Sex that's hosted by a Clubhouse friend of mine named Lila. And we talk about these sorts of things. We talk about how to have conversations with people you're either in a relationship with or people in your community about whether it's your sexuality, if you're in a relationship, it might be about sex itself. And so I'll take questions or listen to questions on there and volunteer to respond from this perspective and to help educate people. I really first want to understand where they're operating from. I need to really hear and observe them for a while to understand their intentions, because this is a bit, you know, as a Black woman, when you're speaking with white people who identify as allies, there's a credibility check there, right? Like, are you for real? Or is this just like some attention getting? I don't know. Yeah. Like,
is this a hot topic? You know, what you really
your resume?
To?
Like, what's right. going on? In the queer community, it's like, are you an abuser? What are you going to do with this information? Right. So the guy who's just like trying to get me into a threesome, that's abusive behavior. I just said that I'm bisexual. Imagine what it is to be a Black queer woman in today's world, right? And the things that I have to endure. And so operating from a place of empathy first is incredibly important, because otherwise, for a straight man who's interested in bisexual women, this very quickly turns into something that is outcome driven for his benefit, and therefore begins down a road where it's not based in like empathy or consent or all these other, it's coercive, which is a form of abuse, right? So those are, it's a whole process. And then when I'm in conversation with someone, you know, I want to hear and ask them questions about their family life, their dating life, their experiences before I give them any advice. But the advice is typically very simple. It is to operate from a place of empathy, right? When you're talking to a unicorn, to really listen and understand and create space to allow this person to open up, because there are some very complex experiences below the surface, right? If we're thinking about this iceberg metaphor, the surface level is, oh yeah, I'm a bisexual woman. I sometimes have sex with couples. And under that is all of this stuff is like your coming out story, which honestly I've learned is a story that never ends, right? Because there in many communities and many parts of the world and parts of the country, there's the assumption that people operate from when they meet someone is that they assume that people are straight. So everywhere you go, you have to decide, am I going to come out here? How do I do it? Like, it's just an ongoing, and it goes different ways each time, right? Some of them are like, this is great. Some of them is like, God, like I really want to leave. Like, I have to get out of here, right? So there's stress and anxiety in the body about these experiences. So it's incredibly important to, I think, educate yourself, right? Not to rely on this individual to be your teacher. We are all adults. If you were going to interview for a job, you would research it first, right? Have the same respect for me that you would for yourself, your own career. So do your own research, you know, read the room. Right? Like, am I in a mental state to have this conversation right now? Like, what else is going on?
Right. And sometimes, and I just want to jump in, you know, it's one of those things where, oh my goodness, you know, sometimes just thinking about people in general, are they even mature enough? You know, because sometimes you'd be, and I've witnessed, you know, both kind of size of the spectrum where, you know, to your point, someone does come out and it's like, all right, cool. And it generally goes pretty positive. Hey, how can we support you? You know, all that good stuff, right? And then there's been conversations and reactions on the opposite spectrum where folks freak out and be doing too much. And I've been like, why are y'all so mad for, you know, it's their life. But, you know, I've just seen it on both sides. And I think with that being said, safety is key. However, for people who are potentially receiving it, I think you have to ask yourself, are you mature enough to kind of handle and engage and even embark on that? So even just thinking about that, you know, I was going to say a little bit later on in the podcast, but you know, I want people to know that Young Black HR, you know, we are that safe space, a safe space. Trust me, we didn't have some episodes on topics like this for sure. But I also wanted to be intentional that we weren't putting the unicorn experience, the LGBTQ plus experience inside of this very popular and nowadays inside of this very corporate box, right? Sometimes I feel like people don't humanize unicorns, LGBTQ plus people enough. Like, okay, think about this. And for those of you that are heterosexual, think about this. Y'all ever work with someone, since we talk about work now, y'all ever work with someone and, you know, they just like grumpy or just something seems off? And, you know, if you do find out, it ends up becoming a thing where, you know, some things are going on in their like relationship life or dating life, and they just grumpy and they bring that in and disrupt the energy at work. It's one of those things where when we think about what's normalized and what's socialized for people who are typically married, right? If you're talking about man and woman, kids, all that, if they can talk about their kids and all that good stuff, we folks, other people got to be also open to folks who don't come from our type of backgrounds as well. Doesn't mean that we are automatically on some sort of extreme versus the other, but it means that folks should be able to bring them whole selves to work as well. And I know even with that kind of topic, Janessa, that is very scary for a lot of people, right? I know sometimes we get caught up a lot, especially nowadays, with like race and bringing yourself as like a whole Black person or a whole Hispanic person or a whole some yeah. sort of shade of brown person, right? Yeah. That is scary. But then you start to throw in other identities. Some people just like, hold on, overload. I can't process all of this, right? And this is why it's so key. When I think about the episode that I did on, and geez, I might mispronounce this, Ikigai, and it's just one of those things where it's like, really, you know, going to work isn't just about, you know, all performance and all that good stuff. Going to work is being able to bring your best talents, your gifts, your strategy, your brain, you know, just bringing all of that to collectively, right, in this case, make a business or corporation that much more better. And it's just one of those things that I wanted to say, you, Janessa, thank you for humanizing this for us. I think people, especially like on LinkedIn and whatnot, they get way too political with this. They center the experiences only within the corporate context. And I really haven't seen much about, well, okay, what happens when Janessa get off of work and she want to go out on a date or something like that? Or, you know, what happens, you know, if she's in the relationship and they want to have playtime. I think that's how you put it earlier. Or, you know, just, you know, what about Janessa? What about all of us? Think about it for yourselves, that for those that are, you that are listening, but just think about the whole self, right? And it's one of those things where we have to consider being not only more open to it, and I'm not talking about agree or disagree or not or whatnot, but just the idea that, hey, people have the audacity to not be on the straight and narrow. I use that in quotation marks. People have the audacity to not be only just in a heterosexual relationship with kids, with the dog, right? You know, people deserve to be in other lanes too. And even just thinking about that, Janessa, I wanted to say that first and foremost, I love making the good people aware of that. And even just thinking about one last thing before we get out of here, we've been talking, this has been a really good conversation, but let's take a different look at this. And this really stood out to me when I was initially reading that article, but do you see some of those challenges or really any forms of bisexual people being ostracized within queer communities?
Absolutely. So this is the difficult thing about being bisexual, is that you are ostracized from the vanilla straight community and you're ostracized from the queer community. And so you just kind of like operate in this weird little fringe space, because you're not straight enough for straight people and you're not gay enough for gay people. So I've dated women. There's one woman I dated. She's very beautiful, very intelligent. We had great conversation. And throughout our date, she kept saying to me, I don't know, you sound like a lesbian. I don't know, you sound like a lesbian. I'm like, well, you know, technically I am a lesbian if we're just looking at the definition of the word, meaning that I am attracted to individuals of the same sex. That's all it says. Right? I'm not exclusively a lesbian, but she was, right? She is. And, it was really difficult because it was sort of like this expectation that she either had, like she would want me to be a lesbian, and like, okay, if I enter a relationship with her, almost as if I now have to identify as a lesbian. And I was just unwilling to do that. It's dishonest, right? If I go through that process, that means that, you know, you might, when we're out, she might expect me to kind of like not be interested in men. I'm very attracted to men. Like I have tested this, I've played this and been like, well, I don't know. And like, no, I am. It just is what it is. I haven't even always liked that idea, but it's still there, right? So that's an indicator to me. And so it didn't work out with her because this seems to be uncomfortable for her, particularly because she's really not attracted to men, right? So we had a number of conversations about her experiences with men, where she experimented sexually with them. She otherwise is not attracted to their mind, the way that they tend to think or operate, their behavior. She's not into them, which is fine for her, right? But if we're in conversation and a fine ass dude walks by, like, what do you want me to pretend I don't see him? Like, we're here and Michael B. Jordan shows up. Like, do you want me to pretend like Michael B. Jordan's not here? Like, come on. Come on. Right. So it's pretty difficult. Because it's people who like are seeking, the queer community is sort of seeking to exist beyond traditional boxes, but then sometimes create other boxes, which I think is more of an indicator of humans and the way that they understand and comprehend information. It sucks is basically what I'll say. So I'm looking for someone who's like in this sweet spot of understanding who I am. And that's kind of the life of a unicorn.
Yeah. And you know what? I definitely say this every episode, but just so many of the things that we spoke about today. I mean, I say this once, I say it twice, I'll say it over and over, but literally some of these topics, y'all, these can be whole episodes by themselves, right? As we continue to unpack it. But one of the things that I wanted to highlight in this episode, and thank you so much, Janessa, I appreciate you. But it's one of those things where, you know what, we got to continue to humanize people, right? I don't care if I'm doing an episode, H is for Human, on humanizing HR, go check out that episode. I don't care if I'm doing the unicorn episode. I don't care what episode that I'm doing, but it's really one of those things where how can you look at yourself as a human resource when you don't humanize others? And that can even include yourself sometimes. So I just wanted to take this time, take this episode, this opportunity to think outside the box a little bit and really understand and realize not only that everyone's experiences are unique, but we can all, I mean, y'all, don't y'all get, and I'm talking to y'all that are listening, don't y'all get tired of folks, you know, only talking about, you know, certain identities, topics, et cetera, only in the context of the workplace. You know, I'm in HR and I get tired of listening to it. But it's one of those things where we are more than just who we present ourselves at work. And look, if y'all at a company or a place or a space where y'all can do that, hey, congrats. We need more places like that. But with that being said, Janessa, before we get out of here, tell us what you're up to. You know, what's next for Artistry Land? What we got going on? When are we going to see you?
Yeah, so I'm in the process of moving to Los Angeles. And I'm in acting classes with Hollywood Studios. I have a talent manager. His name is Robert Tisdale. And I'm also, I just started writing for a news app, a news website called Newsbreak. So I'm doing local news reporting. And then I'm looking forward to doing some more design projects. I'm actually graduating from a product design boot camp called Brave Achievers that I've been doing for 3 months. And so I'm looking forward to wrapping that up so I can get going on some more collaboration now that I have furthered my understanding of product design and I have new tools and assets and templates and all these sorts of things. And then I'm gonna keep this a little hush hush for now because I want people to be surprised, but I am having conversation with a very special artist and designer And I am working on some content about
them. Okay.
So this is the thing about being in the industry. You got to figure out, you know, what you can share and what's embargoed. Exactly. And so, right. But it's a really special series of content to explore. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about that.
Nice. And where can people connect with you? How do they, if anyone is interested, how do they keep the conversation going? Where can they find you at?
Absolutely. So people can find me at www.artistryland.space. They could also follow me on Instagram at Janessa E. Robinson, on Twitter at Janessa E. Robbins, because I ran out of characters there. or on Clubhouse, right? My name on Clubhouse is Janessa Robinson. I would love to connect with people. They can pitch me stories. They can pitch me design collaboration. Maybe they're a filmmaker, right? There's so many different ways that I would love to connect with people. So reach out.
Nice. I love it. And thank you so much again, Janessa. This has been, you know, a good conversation, an honest conversation, you know. Like I said, I could ramble on about humanizing all day long, but I just want to thank you. You know, I just want to thank you for being yourself, you know, making sure that, you know, this space is safe enough for you to even have this kind of conversation. So thank you so much. And for those of you that are listening, come on, y'all, this has been good. But check us out. Continue the conversations. Follow us on your favorite platform at Young Black HR, and let's keep this conversation going. So until next week, until next time, until next conversation, this has been an amazing episode of the Young Black HR Podcast. Make sure you connect with today's guests on social media. And if you haven't already, check out our website at honesthumanresources.com and connect with Young Black HR on your favorite platform at, you guessed it, Young Black HR. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and GroupMe. I hope you enjoyed today's conversation and tune in to next week's episode.